So welcome, everybody. Good evening. Welcome to the Life Coach training for the October 2015 cohort. And this is Coach to Coach Practicum 1, Class 4 with the fabulous Fs. And my name is Bev Barnes, and I'll be with you for the next 90 minutes. So this is our final Coach the Coach class for this practicum. And so tonight we're really doing more of the same. So what we've been doing in this practicum, and we haven't added any new tools this time, we have been really learning the access tools, how to access a client's inner life. So what we've been doing with Say More, Tell Me Where I'm Wrong, and Following Our Curiosity, Marmoset, so that these are the kinds of tools we're going to use, you know, really the whole time we're coaching people, and the Body Compass. Body Compass as a tool to really determine, you know, what's going on with somebody about an event or about what they're thinking or how to move forward. The Body Compass, we can use the Body Compass too. And so what we were doing last week, we added the 5 whys to sort of help drill down into a limiting belief. Because what we're really, when we start out coaching and looking at the area of dissatisfaction or something that's not working or an area of a person's life that's painful, what we're doing is we are trying to drill down and find the story, the painful story, the story that's actually not true, that person is telling themselves or is making their circumstances mean, and so that we can help that person see it and detach from that story. So that's what we're doing in the why of why we're doing all of this. And the 5 whys is a great tool to sort of drill down into what's really going on. And probably this week, hopefully you practiced the 5 whys, and you might have realized that sometimes it works incredibly well, and then sometimes you sort of go off the rails too because you realize your why question's not going in the direction you hoped it would. So that's pretty normal. That happens. And the thing to do is just to say to your client, okay, let's just back this up a bit, and I want to ask that differently. And it takes practice because the 5 whys is a little less intuitive than the other tools in the sense that you have to think a little bit about what you're asking and why you're asking it. You know, so for those of you, and I'm kind of the kind of coach who's like really just feeling into it when I'm with a client. And so sometimes in the 5 whys, I have to actually think about what I want to ask them. But it becomes almost second nature because you know that your intention, when you have an intention to uncover the story that the person is telling themselves, then that's what you're looking for. That's where you're directing your questions and the 5 whys too. So that's the thing to think about when you are coaching, is like, my intention is to find out where there's an incongruence between what the person's doing and saying and how they're feeling and then what's behind their thinking. That make sense?
Yeah.
Perfect. So what we'll do is I'll just open it up to questions, and we'll take questions for a while, and then we will do a little grounding, and we'll get into our coaching. So I'd love to find out how it went for you, what worked, what didn't, and any other questions that you might have.
I have a question that Bev would Sai.
Yeah, go ahead, Sai.
So you mentioned last week that more than one limiting belief may come up in a session,
yes.
And you said
yep.
that you go with the most painful belief that the client
yes.
has. But how do you determine that? Do you ask the client, you know, do you say,
yes.
okay, which was the most intense for you?
Yes.
That for you? Okay.
Yes, I'd really ask directly that way, which feels the most intense, or you can do the body compass thing. You know,
oh,
you can say,
okay.
Hey, okay, when you think of this, how does it feel in your body? Rate it. When you
mm-hmm.
think this, how does it feel in your body? Then you can say, okay, this one sounds like it's the most painful. How about if we work on this one?
Okay, gotcha. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, you're welcome.
Bev, it's Laura.
Yeah, hi, Laura.
Hi. Two things. First of all, Diane and I continued our conversation from last week through email. And
great.
It's been really great. Thank you, Diane. It's nice to be able to actually speak to you and say thank you and not just via email because Diane is in Sri Lanka, so time difference has been like that. It worked out really well, I think. So I just wanted to give her a call out of thanks. And also, I don't know if you saw the email that I sent you.
I don't know. Which no, I don't think so. So can you repeat, tell me what that was, Laura?
Yeah. A friend of mine referred me to someone that was looking for some coaching around looking for a job because she's unemployed and she's having problems landing something.
Okay.
And essentially what happened was I booked a little bit more time than normal because I have met this person socially before, although I don't know
mm-hmm.
her very well.
Mm-hmm.
And it turned out to be a ridiculously long session, and she essentially just dumped like a lot of information. So I have two questions. One is, I had a bit of a hard time. I did try to interrupt and try to,
yes.
you know, notice like the marmoset moments, etc. Because of course we deviated away from job search. But
yeah.
then the other thing that happened was that she revealed some pretty crazy stuff, some very very deep stuff that I wondered whether is this something that she should be talking to a coach about, or
mm-hmm.
should she be seeing a therapist?
Okay.
And so what I did was I sent you via email a chart. You know the model, the coaching framework, the circumstance, thought, feeling.
Yeah,
fear?
I don't have that. I'm just checking here. I'm just really doing a search on your name, Laura, and I'm like,
yeah.
I don't have that. Where did you
yeah,
send that to?
You know what? My computer's not open right now, but I'll look it up and I'll
okay.
Yeah.
Resend it. Resend
yeah, I will
it,
resend it because I figured I was so discombobulated that I populated this chart, and I actually found that to be very, very helpful.
Oh,
by
good.
Putting all the different sort of facts in the circumstance
yep.
column and then the corresponding thoughts, feelings, and behaviors. And,
yep.
and then at the end, because so much time was spent on dumping the story, we agreed to get together, but I would ask for your guidance.
Yep.
As a mentor, and I do have hunches that I didn't share with her because some of them are a little bit scary. Like, for example, she was sexually abused as a young girl by a family member, and she dealt with it in therapy, but I think after our conversation that she hasn't dealt with it completely. So there are some things that came up that I just thought I better ask for guidance on this.
Yeah, and are you coaching her for free?
Yes.
Yeah,
yeah, because she knows that I am in training.
Practice.
That I have, you know, practicum, and it's practice.
Training.
So she's not working, so it was one of those
okay.
things like, hey, maybe I can help, you know, help you figure out what's going on, why you can't find a job, you know, instead of learning all the other stuff. And, you know, since she's not working, we help each other, right, because I'm not charging her, but I may be able to help her. It was like a mutual, hopefully
okay.
mutually beneficial situation, yeah.
Okay. So just off the top for you, my first instinct when you're speaking is you need some boundaries.
Yes.
And you have to create a structure.
Okay.
A structure of this is how long, this is how often, this is what we're talking about.
Okay.
Because you're everywhere with her, and it seems like, here's my hunch, that this is, tell me where I'm wrong, a story fondler. So she's going to go through her story and story and story and story, and you're in it. Tell me where I'm
yeah.
wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah. So you're going to come out of sessions like that feeling like a dish rag, a used
yeah.
dish rag.
yeah.
How did you feel when you finished that session?
I was overwhelmed because mm-hmm. of the volume of information, because of the various subject matters, and my head spun all weekend off and on. I was getting hunches after the fact. But
right.
I was exhausted.
Yeah, exhausted. So whenever you finish a coaching session, even when you're just starting out and you're way more exhausted, like you're exhausted and sort of wiped out, what I've taken it to mean is that you're working harder than the client is. Something's off because it's the client that needs to be working.
Yeah.
And so it's a signal. It's like in this situation for you, it's going to be really important to notice your body, notice what's going on, notice when, and I think that the part of the structure you can create is beforehand. You know, this is somebody that you might say, I'm available to do sessions of 30 minutes and stick to it.
Mm-hmm.
Or 45 minutes or whatever you want it to be, but to say this is what it is, stick to it. And that you're doing it and when you're doing these sessions.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you find that there are 65 different issues, you can say, okay, this is what we started out talking about. Now we're in here. What do you want to focus on? Because I can't focus on, you know, these six things.
Mm-hmm.
And check in back with her back and forth. It's going to be a great learning experience for you. I really think so. And if there's a point where you're saying your body, you check into your body and you say, this isn't for me. Let's say she's getting into the abuse and that you feel like you're out of your depth, let her know, I'm out of my depth. This is not my area of specialty. Maybe this is something that you should do with somebody else.
Yeah, because she didn't get into specifics other than, mm-hmm. you know, mentioning that it was a close family friend, which is obviously, you know, trust issues arise from that. The only reason that I feel that it might not have been dealt with is because of other issues that happen years later that you sort of go, you start connecting the dots, even though we didn't speak of just one subject.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
As she did the massive dump of information, there is sort of a connecting the dots afterwards. Like after I put everything down in this chart, I kind of went, like there are a lot of interesting relations.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll send it to you. I thank you for this because you're quite right. I need to do that. I think that would work well if I was to say, let's focus on your job search and let's meet for 1 hour.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe.
Yeah, like when you spend 2-3 hours with somebody, I mean, you know, how long were you with her in that first session?
It was supposed to be 2 hours because part of it was like, hello, I haven't seen you in a long time, you know, a bit of social chit chat. But in the end, we ended up spending 3 hours together. And it was just way, way too much.
Yeah, no, yeah. And so it's like sometimes it's actually the structure that creates the boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for example, if I'm going to take on a new client, I do, and many coaches do this, some don't, it just depends on the coach's style, I do a free 20 minutes with a client. And in that free 20 minutes, it is not me asking them about, you know, what's their area of, well, actually I do ask that. No, it's not about me sort of necessarily coaching them through an issue, though that might come up. What that 20 minutes is about, the intention is this person and me a good fit? And I'll ask some specific questions like, why did you get in touch? What's your biggest area of dissatisfaction? What have you done to deal with that thus far? What is your biggest desire? What do you really want? What's stopping you? What's in your way? So those questions help them to unravel what's really going on for them, and it helps me to see, okay, what's happening here? Is this a good fit? And is this somebody that I think that I can help?
Mm-hmm.
But I do actually want to help people, even though we're not supposed to. I do want to help people. So I am thinking, is this somebody I can help? Is this somebody that I can work well with it. Is it a good fit? So it's so they know it's 20 minutes. And even in the free people that you're taking on, my sense is that it's really good to do this first initial short meeting just to see where you're at and see if you're comfortable with it, and then you set up a meeting with a person that you're going to be working with. I'm just saying this for everybody else. You might be suggesting that some of the others resonate with and think, oh, yeah, that might work for me. So I know you didn't do that with her, and that's okay. But just set the boundaries with her right away, because you know already. You know.
Okay. Cool. Thank you. And I will look up the email and still send you this chart, if I may. Again, just
yeah, please do, because I really do not have it. I wonder what happened. Okay.
Okay. No worries. I'll look it up and resend. Thank
you. That's great. You're welcome. And listen, I will respond, because if you don't hear from me, that means I didn't get it again. So, it might be, I don't know if you're sending it to my Martha Beck email.
No, it wasn't. It was, I remember it being like a, I think.
A Gmail or?
Gmail, but it wasn't Martha Beck for sure.
Okay, so that should have gotten to me. So anyways, okay, cool.
Okay.
Thank you. Other questions or comments? How did you find the five whys? What's going on with your coaching? Love to find out.
This is Saskia.
Anything you want? Oh, go ahead, Saskia.
Hi. I just wanted to just share kind of a cool moment. I'm with my family, and my niece was having, she's 10, and she was having a really hard time deciding what to do. And I did the body compass, like not a full body compass, but just asked her to, picture going to the movies or staying with her cousins. And it was, it just worked so beautifully with young kids too. So it was kind of cool to bring that, to a place I didn't realize I could bring it to, I guess.
That's fantastic. That's fantastic. I love that, teaching a youngin' how to use their body compass. Kids are good.
Yeah, and she was so clear with it. It was fun.
Yeah. Kids are good. That's great. Great. Thanks for sharing that. Anyone else? Okay. So it sounds like you're all kind of moving along, practicing, and, getting the hang of this, and that's what happens. Anybody find the five whys difficult to do?
Yes.
Yeah? So who's that?
Yes.
Beg your pardon, sir, I couldn't hear.
Oh. Phi. This is Phi.
Yeah, Phi. Yes.
I agree with what you said about you have to really go into the thinking mode. And it wasn't as intuitive for me to ask the whys when I was doing it. So I got a little bit tripped up when I was asking the whys.
Yeah, and you can ask kind of different questions too, like what's so bad about that, or why is that so bad, and what are you making that mean? What's the worst thing that could happen if this happened? So you can ask those kinds of questions along through the whys to sort of dig deeper and go further.
Definitely. I noticed that when I was stuck on asking, the whys in a why way, and then it made it harder. And then when I wasn't really thinking about trying to ask this question in that way, then it was a little easier when I did it differently, not straightforward why, but just like, exactly like what you said. It was a little easier. But I want to be able to ask in this way too.
It's practice. It's practice. So you can practice that tonight on this call too.
Right. Because
you're coaching. Yay.
I'm going to be free coached after for anxiety.
oh, you'll be fine. It's all of this stuff. It's always nervousness before. And then once you start talking, it just seems like you're talking to that person. But anyways, even if it doesn't feel that way, it's the first time, so don't worry about it. As we go through and you do more and more of these classes, it'll just feel more and more like normal. And even if it's not necessarily comfortable, it'll feel normal.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, so let's just ground before we start coaching, and we're going to have Grisella coaching Stephanie as our first pairing. So we'll just take a deep belly breath. So sit with your feet flat on the ground and your back straight on the chair. And you can put your hands on your belly just to notice, give yourself feedback when you're breathing. So take a deep belly breath. And as you breathe in, you notice that your belly expands. And as you breathe out, as you exhale, your belly goes back down. So inhale and exhale. And you can close your eyes if you feel comfortable with your eyes closed. And just take some nice, deep belly breaths. And you can feel the oxygen spreading throughout your body and going to the tips of your fingers and the tips of your toes. And now place your attention on the bottoms of your feet. And they might feel a little hot or tingly as you do that. And imagine your two grounding cords that are coming out the bottoms of your feet. And these grounding cords are like roots. And they're quite beautiful. The roots that come down out of your feet and go down into the earth. And they go through all the layers of earth, through the rocks, the gravel, right down to the central core of our earth. And they attach to our earth and hold you safely, grounded and secure. And now place your attention on your spinal column and really the bottom of your spinal column, near your coccyx, where there would be a tail if you had one. And imagine another grounding cord that comes from that place. And it goes down through the layers of the earth, through the rocks, the soil, granite, and it goes all the way down to the center of the earth and connects to the center of the earth. And that grounding cord grounds the upper half of your body. You might feel a little heaviness in the lower half of your body or even that lower section of your body as you're connected to the earth. Now check into your body for any places where there's pain or stress, any sensations, and breathe into those parts of your body. So let the breath relax those parts of your body where you might be feeling a little stress or tension or pain in your shoulders, and stomach and neck. Just allow that to roll down your body and be recycled back into the earth. And now place your attention once more in your body and your breathing. where you're sitting or standing. And when you're ready, open your eyes and come back to the room. Great. So we're going to have Stephanie as the client and Grisella as the coach.
Okay, should I get started?
Yeah. Are you both there?
Yep, I'm here.
I'm here.
Okay. So what you're doing is you're... Yeah, I'll just say what you're doing. You're just doing the way we do it all the time. You're finding the limiting belief, and you finding the area of least satisfaction and exploring that and looking at the limiting belief. And if there's an opportunity to try it the five whys, you'll be doing that. Okay, and I'm going to stop talking now. Go ahead.
Great, thank you. Hi, Stephanie. How are you?
Hi, good, thanks. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. All right, well, what would you say is an area of least satisfaction right now in your life?
Sure. So it might seem kind of, like a big thing, but it's the thing that I spend the most time thinking about is my job right now. I would say that's the area of least satisfaction for me.
Okay. Tell me a little bit about that.
Sure. So currently, I'm a market research analyst in the pharmaceutical industry, and it's kind of what my life kind of led up to. I went to school. My undergrad was biology, master's in business, and I just kind of followed what seemed to be the right path or how it all aligned, and it landed me in the job that I'm currently at just because it kind of seemed to fall into place like that. But I've been there a year and a couple months now, and from day one, I just knew the job wasn't for me, but I kind of stuck it out, and now I just feel like I'm kind of wasting my days away at my job, and it gets me because I come home and my energy is just drained, and it just doesn't feel right for me, but I have no idea what my next steps are, so I just feel like I'm waiting it out in the job that I'm at.
Okay, and tell me a little bit about you realizing that it wasn't the job for you when you started working there.
Yeah, so I think the biggest thing for me was, I guess there's a couple of factors that I find that I dislike about the job. I think the first one is that I'm pretty sedentary and I just sit in front of a computer all day. The second for me is that I don't socialize that much, and I'm a pretty social person. So for me, it's very isolated. And I think the third thing for me is that I really don't feel like I'm having an impact on the world. I really want to have a positive impact, but in the job, I don't feel that I do. This really got me down and out and stuff, but I've been able to kind of make peace with my job and focus on the positive aspects of it. And I can't say I hate my job. I like the job, but it's just not the job for me now.
Despite all these areas that you don't like about it, why do you think that you've stayed there this long?
I think the biggest reason that I've stayed there is just because of the salary. And if I left and I didn't have something lined up, I wouldn't have a source of income, and for me that wouldn't be good because I have a lot of expenses that I need to take care of. So I think that's definitely the biggest factor that's keeping me locked in right now.
Okay, what would that mean for you? What would that mean for you?
What would what mean for me?
If you left that job and didn't have something lined up, or probably found something with less salary.
I think I would be pretty worried about not being able to cover my expenses. And I think it would the thought of it is just stressful, that if I didn't have like any source of income, or even just one that wasn't as much as I'm making now, I would feel that I won't be able to cover my expenses, and it would, yeah, cause a lot of worry and anxiety for me.
What are the thoughts behind that, the worry and the anxiety?
I'm just going to jump in here for a second. So you're asking this question, what are the thoughts behind that? And so you're getting her to do a lot of work. And if she was not a coach, she would say to you, what are you talking about? So what is it that you are asking her? What do you want to ask her? We'll talk about it over coffee for a minute. So, Stephanie, just bear with us. So, Grisella, tell me about what's going on with you. When you're listening to her, what are you thinking, and what are you curious about?
I think I was curious about if there's a fear or something connected to money or maybe a certain level, of income.
Right. Yeah, she said that. So she said she's worried about not covering her expenses. She's worried about leaving her job and having less salary. That's why she's in her job. So what do you want to find out from her about that?
I'm not sure, actually.
Yeah, so that's why I'm talking about it with you, because it was just sort of talking it out just to make it sort of a bigger picture. So maybe, so what she said is the biggest thing that's on her mind is her job, right? So maybe what you want to do with her, and she says she's made lots of peace with it, but she doesn't want to leave it because of her, or she didn't say she didn't want to leave it. She talked about her salary. I'm sort of my sense in this kind of situation is to get into something specific. So you'll often have people that sort of saying a general, she's giving you a general thing, and to ask her about something specific that she's dissatisfied with at her job. Maybe you'll be able to get a little further when you talk about that, because we're kind of talking in generalities now. Does that make sense, Grisella?
Yeah, that does. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so why don't you try that with her to get a little bit more specific. See where it goes.
Okay. Stephanie, so can you think of an area or something specific at work that causes you to feel more, disillusioned with the job, or just kind of sad that you're there?
Yeah, I think for me it's very monotonous, and I really don't feel like I apply myself at all. I do kind of the same task a lot of the time, and it's just not a challenge for me. But I do think, and the other part is really that it bugs me so much that I feel like all I do is just stare at a computer screen for 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, and I almost feel just like stuck there, just kind of like, yeah, like in a jail cell or something.
Okay. I'm not quite sure about what should be the following question.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So let me, I know, so, okay, let me just ask you a few questions here. So this scenario comes up. So this scenario comes up a lot. People are like, oh, I hate my job, blah, blah, blah. Tell me what are you thinking, like, when you're listening to her talking?
So. I'm trying to think of what's the underlying, like, what's causing these thoughts, or what's, why she feels that way, if it's just the job or if it's something more.
Okay. And what have you found out so far?
It seems like it's just the job. I don't know if it's
So I'll just talk, I'll just talk to you a little bit about this, and this might help you help all of you, because this is you know, coaching around a job. I've done a lot of coaching around a job, so sometimes I get a little bit in a blind spot too, even around this area, even though I've done a lot of coaching around this area. So when you're in a job that you don't like, and I'll tell you what my blind spot is. My blind spot is, what are you doing in that job? You don't like it. Okay? But that's another point. So, and I'm knowing from, you know, my own experience is I didn't quit a job I didn't like. I was just miserable in it for a long time. But the whole idea of when somebody's in a job that they don't like, they have a lot of beliefs about, you know, security. There's a lot of beliefs about security and money, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so what you try to do, actually, and it's interesting because she said, oh, I've made peace with it, but I would question that, is you try to control those things that you can control. So we look at, she said, this whole area is very monotonous. I don't apply myself. It isn't a challenge. Those are all things she said. It bugs me that I stare at a computer screen for five days in a row. I don't know. I wrote down 5 days in a screen. I made a mistake. 5 days in a row. So she's talking about the monotony of the job, and that she doesn't apply herself. And I would question why, because what it sounds like she's doing is that she's given up on this job. And she's given up and she's staying. That's what it sounds like. So I'd kind of want to know, you know, those are the things that I'm curious about. You know what we could do? Let's open it up to those people that are listening and see what you're curious about. Anything that you're curious about that you want to find out, anything, any hunches that you have about this situation. I'd love to hear what you're thinking as you're listening to Stephanie.
This is Kathy. One of the things that got my marmoset up was when she said, "I'm following the right path."
Mm. Yep.
And I probably would want to dig in a little bit about that. What does that mean to her? Following the right path, and how does that play into these feelings of feeling sedentary and isolated and not having an impact, and I don't know. That's what got my mom set up.
Yeah, great point. That's a really great point, because what that leads to, or what that seems to say, is that there's a belief, she has a belief about what the right path is. You know, did everything right, and here I am in this boring job.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the right path? Is the right path leading you to a job you hate? Yeah, what is the right? Great point. Anybody
else? I shouldn't have done what I really wanted to do, because I'd be interested in what was underneath that.
Yeah, curious. That's great. Great point. Somebody else? Anybody else have a marmoset or question?
I'm curious about Stephanie's comment that she stuck it out, feeling that she's wasting her days. This was after the comment about this job. She kind of fell into place after school,
yes,
following, you know, certain path. But after you realize that you're not in the right place, that you are, you know, sedentary, isolated, it's monotonous, computer screen, blah, 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 and that you're not giving back somehow, you know, has Stephanie made any efforts to change her job? Has she made efforts to seek employment elsewhere?
You know what's interesting? Okay, so you brought up some good points, but then you went to the solution. Okay, maybe we'll make it better. But you did bring up some really good points, because she said, I knew the job wasn't, I thought I took the right path, I knew the job wasn't for me, I'm wasting my days away, my energy is drained, I feel like I'm waiting it out.
Mm-hmm.
So the question is, why? Why are you waiting it out?
Oh, I see, okay. Yes.
Yeah.
Phrase.
Why are you waiting it out?
Mm-hmm.
Then, because
yes,
what we want, yeah, what we want to find out is, what is she thinking?
Mm-hmm.
She said she's doing all of this, and so we want to know, why is she doing this, and what is she thinking? So we know, we're getting a sense that she thinks this is the right path, or this is what she's supposed to be doing, but she knows it's not. She thinks it's what she's supposed to, she feels like she's waiting it out. Why? I mean, the other thing that we all know, too, is she is enrolled in coach training, so that's a reality. So I'm also curious about that, how that plays into all of this and what's going on.
I was just going to say that you know,
yeah,
knowing that she's enrolled in this, you know, kind of follow that. And something I wrote down, too, is she said about wanting to change the world. So
Yes.
What's there, you know?
Yes. Okay. Great questions, everybody. So, Grisella, to get a little bit of stimulation from some of those questions and thoughts.
Yeah, that was all good.
Yeah. So why don't you pick sort of a way that you want to go, knowing that we've all been listening to this, as also Stephanie, and, you know, just do a little bit more with Stephanie to explore some of the things that you're curious about, and it might be some of the things that people have said.
Okay. Stephanie, so knowing that you feel this way about your current position at work, why do you think that why do you think you're weighing it out?
It's interesting. I feel like throughout my time, I've reflected back on like the time that I have been at my job, and at first I did think it was kind of like negative and stuff that I was out, like that I was isolated and kind of doing a monotonous task because all of my time up until then was all in school, and you know, I was applying myself and learning what needed to be learned and studied throughout school, and then I all of a sudden landed this job where I'm not applying myself and not thinking. And like in retrospect, it was really great for me because I almost was able to work on myself personally, kind of like spiritually, and really find out who I was on my own. But now I'm kind of like, I've found that side of me, and it's kind of given me a whole nother outlook on what I thought my life should be going down. And now I kind of feel like in the beginning, maybe this was maybe like 5-ish months ago, and then I feel like now I'm in this transition period, but now I don't know what the next step to take is. I've known since day one this isn't the job for me, but then I feel like I'm just like in this waiting it out until maybe like the idea comes to me or something for the next step.
Okay, and why do you feel that you're not applying yourself? Since you're still there, why do you think you're not applying yourself?
So for me, it's kind of, I've reached out in my role plenty of times, like beyond my role to apply my knowledge and stuff. And I've taken on projects that I've created on my own to actually apply myself. But the day-to-day task is, very heavy on data entry. So it's very mindless. And I would say that's like almost 85% of the job. So for me, it's really, really just, I don't have to think.
Okay.
So I'm going to jump in here. I'm going to jump in here because she said some really cool things. Thank you, Grisella, for starting us out with Stephanie, and I'll get her to give you some feedback after. But I heard some really interesting things that she just said when she started talking about her situation, like what she talked about, what was great about the situation. Well, the way I interpret it is a question you can ask to people when they're really upset, miserable about a scenario, she's quite has a big vision. Like when she starts to talk, you can see that she has a big vision. She's not like stuck with her head against this job, except sometimes. One of the questions you can ask is, what's great about this situation? She actually answered it. She said, well, this has been really good because it's been so boring and so not demanding. I've been able to look at myself and see what's important to me and those kinds of things. And then she said the big thing, which was, I'm in a period of transition and I don't know what the next step is. When she said that, that's where it sounded like, aha, that's what's going on. Did you hear that, Grisella?
I did.
Yeah. Did it ring for you? Like, was it buzzy for you? I don't know what your signals are, but did that feel like something that was significant?
Well, I noticed it, but I wasn't sure what to ask around it.
That's what I was thinking, which is why I stopped and I wanted to pull it out, because what she said was, I'm in a period of transition and I don't know what the next step is. And so it's my hunch is she went around, she was talking about the job. We were getting like, yeah, the job. I hate the job. We know she hates the job. It didn't seem like it was a problem of, it didn't seem like it was, oh, I'm supposed to love this job and I hate it. It didn't seem mm-hmm. like that. So we didn't really know what was going on. And then when she says, I'm in a period of transition and I don't want to know what the next step is, my sense was that's what her pain is about. She knows she has to move or she's shifting, and she wants to know what the path looks like, and she doesn't. And when she doesn't know what the path looks like, she gets afraid that she's going to be stuck in the job and blah, 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 blah. So it just brings up a whole bunch of stuff. That's the place to go with her in this kind of scenario, because we sort of just found out what was really going on. And it took a lot of, you know, saying more and talking about the situation to find out. Does that resonate, Stephanie?
Oh, yeah, you definitely hit the nail on the head there.
Yeah, yeah. So it's not, it's almost like in her mind, she's already gone from this job, but she's there. She's left and she's staying. But because she wants to know what she's doing next and what's going on, she wants to kind of know the how, and she doesn't. And that's what she's telling herself. I have to know. Her limiting belief is, I have to know, this is my hunch, I have to know what the next step is.
Okay.
That's my hunch. When you think that you have to know what the next step is, Stephanie, how does that feel? And you don't. How does that feel?
Oh, very stressful. And like you said, I feel like I'm going to be stuck in this job forever, because if I don't know the next step, I can't take action to work
right
towards that next step.
That's where, if when we go on to the next step in doing the work, that's where you would do the work on that thought. I have to know the next step to take action. That mm-hmm. thought, that's such a great thought, because mm-hmm. so many people have that same thought. And one of the things to think about is, in your own life, is like, when are the, mm-hmm. how many times have you taken action and you've not known what the next step is? Probably millions, mm-hmm. like evidence of times you've taken action without knowing the next step.
Mm-hmm.
But that's going to be, that sounds like the thought that's underneath all of there. So those of you that were listening, were any of you here, did you hear that? Was there something else that you heard that you were super curious about? Love to hear from you guys.
What life should be.
Ah, yes.
Can you just say a little more about that? Yeah. She said what life should be. And what I wrote down was, what life should be, why is this? Why?
Yeah. Yeah. What's the should? What is it at? What is that? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Super interesting. They're all stuff to explore, because they're all like, this work stuff gets into the life rules. What are the life rules that I learned that I'm supposed to follow? And then they're not true, because it's all a lie. P.S. Everyone. What are those life rules and like that I'm supposed to follow and why? So when you're dealing with work, you're dealing with that. And you're dealing with life rules and you hit that security piece, which is lizard protection. However, everybody's got to make a living, right? Because one of our basic needs is to have shelter. So there's that issue comes up. And I would suggest don't shy away from it, you know. Don't assume that, oh, yes, that of course that's true. Because what some people mean by making a living is completely different than what other people mean by making a living. So those are things to explore with your clients when things like that come up. Any other hunches anybody had? Yeah, go ahead, Dina.
What I was curious about was the when she said, "I'm waiting for an idea or something to come to me," and I don't know what kind of question to ask around that, but it sounded very passive and sort of staying in the same job and without trying to come up with a solution for her, like a better situation. I don't know. That's struck me. I wouldn't know how to ask around that. Like,
I didn't hear that.
What are you waiting for? I don't know if the question would be something like why are you waiting or what are you waiting? What I know is not really what we're asking.
You might want to just
why.
You might want to just ask her to say more about that. Yeah, it might want to just say more about that statement, whatever it was you said that I forget, because it just seemed like there was a bit more information around there, and then when she said a little bit more, you would be able to ask a question, a why question,
okay,
or get more specific.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Who was that? Who was talking there?
This is Dina.
Okay. Oh, Dina, right. Thank you. Go ahead.
Just a quick question. I heard Stephanie say what Dina mentioned earlier, that she's waiting for the right job or right idea to come to her. But then later, I flagged also what you said about she knows that she's in transition and she's waiting for the right job or for the next steps. And my instinct would have been to ask her if she had, she knows what she doesn't like about her current job.
Mm-hmm.
What are the elements that she would like to see in her new job? Is there anything that she can define that she would like in her next job?
Yeah.
This is the right place to ask something like that, or do you wait to ask something like that when you start to actually do the work?
Good question. Because I've done a lot of job coaching. So what you do is you're going to use this element like the body compass. Tell me what you like in your job. Notice how it feels in your body. Tell me what you don't like in your job. What do you want to bring with you? What do you want to leave behind? Stay or go? Your to-do list with your job. So you want to look at what she's actually doing as opposed to what she wants to see in her next job and then see what she can bring with her.
Okay.
Make sense?
Yes, it does. Thank you.
Yeah, so I'd look at it in the here and now and not assume that she's bringing that with her because she is the fear or the hesitation is a lot about thinking that she's got to have this whole plan together in order to move forward. So we don't want to tie into that, but we do want her to become aware of what feels good that she actually does right now, if anything. And there might be it might be colleagues, you know, it might be her interactions with colleagues. Of course, she is sitting at a computer screen. So, but we never know. We have no idea. And so it's the interesting to find it out.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. So, Stephanie, So what did you, what were you, what was it like for you to, can you give, well, can you give Grisella some feedback, a little bit of feedback?
Yeah, definitely. I felt like at first you definitely were asking it questions that made me start to dig deeper at what I was saying and to give you more information about kind of what I was feeling and where, like, I started and have gotten from. And then it felt like maybe a little couple times you weren't sure where to ask, but if I think if you kind if you were a bit confident and kept going with it, I think we could have naturally gone down kind of a good path that it would have unfolded just by the questions that you were asking because they were insightful to my situation.
Okay, thank you, Stephanie.
That's great to know. What was that like for you, Grisella?
I think I was more in my head than trying to listen to my instincts or marmoset.
Yeah, good to
know.
Yeah,
and I was having trouble kind of asking the questions around the areas that that I needed, that I felt like should have kind of would have guided her a different way.
Yeah, good to know. It's good to know, oh, I was in my head. So what can you do to, when you notice you're in your head, what can you do to sort of get back into the present moment?
I think I just need to relax a little bit more.
Yeah. And sometimes, you know, what I've seen people do, and I've done this too, is just, when it feels like you're getting kind of heady, is just say to the client, hey, let's just breathe for a moment. I want you to breathe, and do some deep breathing, feet out on the ground, and take some deep belly breaths. And you can do it together. And then you get back inside and you ask something different. You
okay.
can do that. Yeah.
Okay. That's good. So
great.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks, everybody. Those were great hunches. Stephanie, do you have something to work with on that you might want to continue on getting coached with or think about some more?
I think it was definitely insightful, and I definitely have to reflect more on my thought process about the job, and it definitely struck me when you mentioned that I feel like I need to have a plan because this was an issue that I ran into when I reflect upon it after you said that when I was initially trying to find this job that I'm at now, I was always stressed out because I didn't have a plan. I didn't know what I was doing next and where it would take me. And this is just the job that came up and gave me an offer. So I took it, but now I almost feel like I don't want to land in a similar situation as that.
Mm-hmm.
So it is, it's all in my mind about planning and I feel like I need to for the next step.
Yeah, that's really cool. And so, and it's cool that you've found some links there. That it's your current, and that's why we bring somebody back to like right now in the moment. Her current issue is, it sounds like it's this plan thing that she's telling herself. It doesn't even really have that much to do with her job and what she's doing. It's telling herself, I got to have a plan. I got to have a plan for my next step. That's what's at the root of her dissatisfaction. So that's interesting to know because when you, you know, let go or detach from that thought, you're going to feel relief. And then you'll be able to, because when you're in that, you can't figure out what to do anyways. It just doesn't happen. So it'll help you get back into your body and into your essential self and think about, oh, my next step for me is this. As opposed to a plan. Yeah. Thank you. Thanks for sharing that.
Yep. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, so now we have Sai is going to coach Saskia.
Hi. Okay. Hi. I'm muted myself. So can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can.
Okay, great. Hi, Saskia. How are you?
Hi. Good, thank you.
Where are you? Good. Where are you calling from?
I am actually at my brother's house in Portland, Oregon.
Oh, Portland, Oregon. I always thought you wanted to visit Portland, Oregon.
That's great. I'm calling from New York City. All right, so let's reground ourselves a little bit. Just take a few grounding breaths. So just inhaling through the nose, allowing your body to expand, and then exhaling and letting it all out and softening, and then inhaling, and then exhaling out, and then one more deep inhalation through the nose, and then letting it all out and dissolving tension. Okay, so Saskia, what is bugging you lately?
I'm like trying to minimize it, but I kind of feel like I'm drowning in my family life.
Okay, tell me more about that.
I guess.
Okay. Just take your time. No rush. You don't have to rush. Take your time.
It's funny how you can just say one thing and it kind of lets out some floodgates. I have two little boys.
Mm-hmm.
1 and 4. And my husband and I haven't really been getting along. And I feel like I have to, like, I've been on Thanksgiving break. And I have to go back to reality tomorrow. And it's just kind of scary.
Sure. So I'm guessing your husband is not with you on your holiday vacation, or he wasn't with you?
That's right, he wasn't.
Okay. So what's really, so you said you feel like drowning in your family.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing you're drowning in your relationship with your husband?
Yeah, it feels like I don't get a moment myself between my boys and, like, feeling like I'm arguing with my husband and, like,
no moment. Okay. Would you give me a situation, a particular situation where you were feeling like you were drowning and arguing with your husband? Any particular situation where you feel like, where you felt like you were drowning?
It can, like, waking up in the morning. My little one has been getting up at between 4:30 and 5:30. And then, so I get up with him, and then my older one wakes up, usually crying. And then my husband will get up, and sometimes it will just, like, you know, making breakfast, like, it's like, I don't know if you've ever felt where you're just, every word you say, I feel like, is being picked apart, and then we just, like, bicker about, I don't even know what. And so it just is, like...
So every word still... It sucks. And you feel like you're picked on for everything you say. Is that...
Yeah, just kind of everything's being scrutinized. It's like there isn't any ease. It doesn't feel like there's any ease right now.
Okay. So you feel like you've been scrutinized and picked on. Okay. And tell me, when you're feeling like this, like you're picked on and feel like you're drowning and just bickering, what are the thoughts that are going through your head? What are you thinking?
I kind of, I sometimes can just kind of check out, or I think, wow, like, another day of this. I feel
mother that
over,
is. Okay. And so let's imagine you're in that situation and your husband is saying something and you feel picked on. And in that moment, what are you feeling? Close your eyes and see, be in that moment. And what are you saying? What are the thoughts that go through your head? And what are you feeling?
I feel mad, and I feel like I can't believe this is my life right now.
I can't.
And like, I feel sad that I can't. I feel sad that I can't always feel. I just want to be happy, I guess.
Mhm. Just want to be happy. So you're feeling mad, and you're thinking, I can't believe this is in my life right now.
Yeah.
Okay. And when you're saying this, are you saying it being criticized and the bickering, the argument with your husband? Is that what you're referring to?
Yeah, I guess I just didn't think that I would be in such a sucky place. Like with my husband and like arguing in front of the kids, like doing things that I didn't think that I would do.
Thank you. Okay, so let's breathe a little bit. So let's take a deep breath. And let it all out. I can really sense that this is really difficult, so breathe in deeply and let it out. Okay. And anything else that you were thinking, you're feeling mad, you feel really mad, and I can't believe this is in my life right now, and I just want to be happy. And you mentioned you feel sad that you were going to say something. Is there anything that you wanted to add to that?
I think I noticed, like, there's this part, like, even now talking to you, there's this, like, part of me that wants to run. Like, I'm embarrassed. Like, I'm thinking, oh, my God, I can't believe I'm doing this on this call. Like, stop. And there's, like, that feeling in my life. Like,
sure.
Oh, my God, I can't believe this is, like, run. Run.
Run. You mean right now in the call, or run from the situation with your husband?
I think I both. Like, I noticed this. Like, it's the same kind of feeling. This.
Okay. That you're feeling embarrassed and you want to run away.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. And sort of. And is that the first thing you said was you feel like drowning? Is that the kind of feeling that you have when you're feeling that you want to run? You're drowning and you want to run away?
Let me see.
I'm feeling embarrassed.
Yeah, those are all things that go on.
Okay, go through. Okay, and then when you say you're feeling embarrassed and run away, what does that feel like in your body, embarrassed? Where do you feel it and what does that feel like?
As I talk about it, it's like, there's kind of two movements. There's one, it feels like a foot is stepping on my chest and neck, and it's like get back in the hole, pushing down. And then when I was talking to you about the, like, oh, I'm embarrassed, I have my, like, hands out and I'm kind of, like, going back and forth, like, one way or the other, like, flip-flopping, like, to the left, to the right, to the left, like, you know, trying to,
Thank you. And I just want to ask about your relationship in general with your husband. Has it always been difficult, or has it just been difficult recently?
Just, it has not always been difficult. and it's been a lot more difficult recently. And I think it's,
Okay. And what's adding to that is the stress. It sounds like as having two little boys and waking up and you're not getting enough sleep. Tell me why I'm wrong.
Yeah, that's true. I think that there's just no space for each other and no space for self.
Okay. And tell me more about the space, not having space for yourself.
So I'm just going to jump, I'm going to jump in here for a minute.
Okay.
So, so, hold on a second. Just writing something down. So Saskia, how you doing?
Good. I mean, okay.
You did, you're doing good. Way to go. Really, really. You're, you know, thank you for sharing this. And I know you didn't intend to.
Yeah.
How are you feeling? How are you feeling through this as you're talking and Sai's asking you questions? There are times when you actually towards the end, you started, it sounded like you were starting to feel comfortable. You were being able to breathe. Tell me where I'm wrong.
I was. Not anymore, but I was.
Yeah. Yeah, it sounded like you were. It sounded like talking about it was actually helping you to let it go. Tell me where I'm wrong.
I think so, yeah. I think that,
My sense was, and just before we were going, because it was sort of going in a different direction, and but my sense was, and tell me where I'm wrong, that you had been holding it very, very tightly inside, and then you were able to just breathe it out. And she did the breathing with you initially to start out with.
Yeah, that was out.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm going to, so Saskia, I'm just going to ask the group a few questions. So we're holding this space for you. So we're with you on this.
Okay.
We are not judging you at all. And I know that in part this, when you were talking and you were saying that you were, what you said, I can't believe that my life is like this right now. What I got from you was it was not just that this was going on. It was that you, it was the embarrassment and the shame that this was going on. It was like, to me? I can't believe this is happening to me. So it's like a double layer, right? With beating yourself up because you were in this situation. Not just that you were in this situation, but that you shouldn't be in this situation. Tell me where I'm wrong.
No, that's right.
Yeah. So you have the double lashing on that's going on in this. Sorry, I just wanted to point that out because it's that's part of the stuff that you're holding too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the question that I was going to ask. Oh shoot! I hate when I do that. I just lost it. So that happens to me when I coach. I'm like, oh God, where was I? So now I've lost it with the group. Rats. Well, it will come back. It will come back. So why don't I ask Saskia, what was that like for you, Sai coaching you? How was that?
I thought that you did really beautifully. I mean, sometimes I don't know if it was like my confusion I was feeling or that if there were lots of different directions it could have gone, but on the whole, I felt like there was a, I don't know, if it, you didn't ever drop me. I felt like you held me the whole time, even...
Mm.
You know, you didn't ever, I guess that's how I can explain it. I never felt like you dropped me in my places. You know, you followed me and could kind of feel when taking a breath was it, like that was comforting when you would do that. And I didn't ever feel like it was too much for you. So that was nice and appreciated.
Thank you, Saskia. Thank you.
Yeah.
Sai, what was that like for you?
Well, first of all, Saskia, thank you so much for being so courageous and vulnerable, willing to be vulnerable in front of everyone. So thank you for that and going there. And for me, the first thought that went through my mind was like, okay, should I be coaching this? And I was like, I don't want to traumatize her in any way and make it worse. So I was a little bit concerned with that. And I just wanted to just ask more questions and listen. And there are moments where I was feeling like, I feel a little stuck. Where do I go from there? So, and I couldn't quite find the why.
You didn't need them.
Why? Yeah, I felt like I didn't need to. Like, it just didn't feel appropriate for me to ask why,
I agree.
So I just kind of wanted to just kind of go with the flow. And I feel like that I shouldn't be arguing and I shouldn't be having this experience was kind of like, I think when you said it, I was like, that was it. But it was kind of unclear when I was, like, going in that direction. I was like, is this the limiting belief? Is this the painful thought? So I was kind of dancing around that and see, like, what I could, like, get from that. And then I took it to another direction.
That was wonderful because you were unraveling what was going on. And as she said, she felt like always held, like that you didn't drop her. That's a big affirmation, actually. I remember the question I wanted to ask everybody. So what square of the change cycle is Saskia in? So just call out what square you think she's in.
Square one.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, square one. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So she is smack in square one.
Mm-hmm.
And the job in square one is grieving and disbelieving. So the sense we got she was, there was a lot of grief in what it, like, we felt it. There was grief, and there was also this, and it's funny, the grieving and disbelieving, it doesn't mean this, the disbelieving. There was disbelief on her part that I can't believe I'm here in this place, in my relationship, in my life. How did I get here? That was her disbelief, how she felt. But there was a lot of grief around that. She said there was sadness and there was anger. And so it might have been instinct for you, Sai, but it was great instinct just to keep going back into her body and how did that feel and asking questions. Because what you were doing was you were holding a safe space for her to become aware of what was going on and how she was feeling. Because what she was telling us was, I don't feel safe at home. Like, I don't feel safe. I can't express myself. I can't feel what I want to feel. And so that's what you were giving her the opportunity to do. So you coached her.
Wow. Thank you, Beth. Beautifully put. That makes a lot of sense. It rings really true because when she said, I can't believe this is in my life right now, it sounded like a belief to me, but I just didn't feel like it was appropriate for me to say that, to say,
right.
Go into that. So,
no, it wasn't.
Okay, it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, and Saskia, does what I said resonate for you?
Yeah, I kind of had like a excuse me, with that, like, a holy shit moment when you said she doesn't feel safe at home. I was like, holy shit, I don't. Because I've been trying to, the reason why I was like, I better be a client, because I've been trying to, like, do this on my own. And it's like I could only go these certain tracks of, like, trying to find my limiting beliefs, you know. And I was like, I need to get someplace new. Like, somebody needs to take me someplace new. And, I feel like I got someplace new.
Yeah.
In a way, if that makes sense.
It does. And it's a work in progress. This is a work in progress. What you've done is you've opened it up in the group, and you've allowed yourself to be vulnerable. And so my suggestion is you continue to get coached through this for either your coaching group, somebody you feel comfortable with, but continue to work through this as you, so you're starting to see sort of what's coming up, because there are scenarios. I mean, we can do a good job on ourselves, but we really do need other people. I mean, we're born to connect, right? We can't see stuff that other people can see. It's much harder, much harder. You know, all of us get coached. And if we don't get coached, we need to get coached. So continue to work through this. And what I hear in your voice, at least at this moment, is that you sound a little freer right now. Tell me where I'm wrong.
Yeah, I do. I do. And, freer and, like, really wanting to keep going. It's like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Like, that type of, like.
Yeah. Yeah.
Almost like, I don't want to lose this, you know.
Yeah.
Type feeling.
Yeah. So,
but, yeah,
my suggestion is to continue on after this class. You might want to either continue on with Sai or continue on with your coaching buddy, whoever that may be. Just, like, keep going with this, because you've just gone through this and you don't want to lose this thread.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah,
thanks,
you're welcome. Yeah, you're welcome. Does anybody have any comments or thoughts on any of that, you know, that we just heard with Sai and Saskia?
This is Kathy. The line that struck me that got my marmoset was when she said, I need to get back in the hole.
Yeah.
And that's where and you said something that followed up on that, the not feeling safe and that all kind of flowed right into the, what is that, what does that mean to you? You know, what is the hole about?
Yes. Yeah, maybe that's where that came from, because I don't know where that came from, because I just sort of threw that out. And yes, so this is another thing that came up here. When you, Saskia, when you were talking as the client and when Sai brought you into your body, you saw specific images. This is really great, okay? You saw specific images and felt sensations, and as you move further in coaching, you're going to learn to work with those. You know, you're going to be doing the mind body work next, and coach to coach too. But it seems like you really respond connecting into your body, and so. I just thought that was really, it worked really well for you, because that seems where you resonate, like it, everything comes up.
You nailed it. That's so true. I mean, like my head usually, my head's the slow one. It's like all goes into my body, and then if you could see me, I'm like moving here. I'm trying to describe what I'm physically doing, you know? So.
Yeah, so it's processing through your body, and so you're going to feel it. So that approach with you, which is why I was really glad that Sai didn't go do any of the five whys or any of that stuff, and that's what it means. Like you, that's what happens. You work with what your client's responding to. That's what you work with, and you start to see, oh, this person, it's the body that they need to feel and see, and you can sort of just sense the relief. She wants to move, she wants to keep going and move further, but the relief is palpable from her at this moment. So, cool.
Yeah.
Anybody else have a thought or a marmoset or something they wanted to throw out about this
there
when you were
just
listening?
At the very end, there was something so interesting, and it was the change in tone of voice, because Sai had asked about the relationship with her husband, and has it always been difficult?
Mm-hmm.
And Saskia just said it was more recent, but the tone of your voice changed so dramatically. You became very terse in your response. And my instinct was, well, when did it change? Like, when did things change? So anyway, just food for thought. I just thought something is there, I think, in terms of when something happened. That's my hunch.
Mm-hmm.
Just based on the tonality of your voice, because you were sounding very comfortable, and then all of a sudden it was like, no, it's just recent. I thought, uh-oh.
Yeah. I heard that too. Yeah, it's funny. I heard that too, and it was interesting because what my sense of it was, and I have no clue. We all have us making up stories in our minds too as we're listening and coaching. And my sense of it was that where we were starting, she was talking all about, or Sai was asking all about Saskia and her responses and how she felt, and then she moved into her husband, and Saskia didn't, I sensed that she didn't want to talk about her husband. She wanted to talk about herself. And so that was my sense of it, but who knows? But it was noticeable. It was noticeable. That was interesting, super interesting. Well, thank you, you guys. That was so, you're such a great group, open, vulnerable, wonderful. You know what I want to do? Because it's our last class together, I just want to go around the room and ask each of you for one takeaway or insight that you have, about coaching or anything after the first four, after our first four classes. So how about if I just go around and ask you for one takeaway? So, Deb.
Oh, whoops, hold on. Okay, there we go. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. One takeaway. You have to call on me first. there's so much. I guess really just the structure of how it all works has been really my big takeaway. And because I have my own instincts about how, in our practice sessions, I know how I would do things, but it's really been helpful to me to hear how other people go about asking the coaching questions, which is often different. Like, Stephanie's in my group and my practice group, and I've coached her around the issue that came up today, but we went in an entirely different direction and came up with an entirely different thing that was what we ended up talking about. And so it's just so interesting to see the different places things can go. And it's really helpful to me to hear the styles and the instincts of all of you who've been doing the coaching, and of course of you, Beth.
Yeah, it's really cool. And what's cool is that I always take it that whatever happens or is supposed to happen, it's like whatever direction it goes in, that's the direction it's supposed to go in, because it could go in many directions, and whatever it goes in, that's the right place.
Yeah.
Very cool. Thank you. Thanks, Deborah.
Thank you.
Laura, how about you?
I think what I'm learning, and it's been fascinating listening, to other people as well, is to make sure that any preconceptions I have, or you just mentioned earlier that we all sort of tell ourselves stories as we're listening. To make sure, note to Laura, not to allow my preconceptions or perceptions to guide. It's like listen to the client.
Yep.
Let them tell their story. And
yep.
Yeah. I don't know how else to word it. The words are failing me now. I'm tired, but
that's okay.
Yeah. Don't put words in people's mouths.
Right. It's great. Perfect. Thanks, Laura. Stephanie.
Sure. So I think my biggest takeaway so far is really just trying to follow like my instincts and applying the tools where they fit and not trying to force the tools in and really just letting kind of coaching sessions unfold on naturally to get to the point where they need to go, even though I may not see where exactly the coaching session is going.
Right. Yeah, that's the thing. Exactly. Great, great point. Thank you. Amy, how about you?
I think I have a couple things, but I think, well, number one, I know I'm on the right track because all of this just feels so good and it just feels so right. And I know that, you know, I have a lot more to learn and everything that I echo everything everybody has said so far. But I think the biggest thing for me is like live it to give it. I have seen so much of my own crap bubble up.
I know. Is that what happened?
I'm realizing, like, okay, I need to work on my own stuff so that I can be that window for future clients.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's
great point.
That's my big thing.
Thank you. Grisella.
I was actually going to say the same thing as Amy just said. I noticed a lot of things that have came up for me that that would be important for me to just kind of work through to be able to just be present and there for the client and so that I could get out of my head and my own stuff and just be able to be connected and be able to listen to my intuition and my instincts.
Mm-hmm. Great point. Thanks, Gisela. And Barbara, what's one takeaway for you? You might be on mute, Barbara. Maybe she had to go. How about you, Maura?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay, go ahead. Is that Barbara? Was that Barbara? Can't hear you. So I was just asking about a takeaway. We can move forward. How about Aura?
I think that one big thing for me is watching how just helping someone find the painful thought or, you know, just kind of help because I think I'm a natural fixer. I want to jump in and fix and make it better right away. So watching it go gradual and just focusing on thoughts and not worrying about taking care of it all has been very good for me.
Yeah, it's great practice. It's great practice to sort of like sit in this and see how that feels for you. Because sometimes when you're a fixer, it's like, I just don't want to feel this way because I feel bad when they feel bad, so I got to fix it. Mm-mm.
I know, I just need to make it all better so they're happy.
Right. That's great. Thank you. Maura, are you here? Are you still with us? Takeaway?
I'm still here, yeah.
Yeah, what's the takeaway for you, Maura?
Oh, I don't know.
One thing that you're going away of this from these first four classes with?
First four classes? Oh, it's been so beneficial.
Yeah. Cool. So we'll just move down. That's okay. That's fine. Saskia, how about you?
Mine is it's going to be okay. I think the way that you've kind of led things, it's like, what I keep on hearing is you can't really do it wrong and you can kind of find your way. And if you make a mistake, you can go back and it kind of is a good lesson for kind of where I am in my life too. So it's going to be perfect. Okay. That's my takeaway.
Perfect. Thank you. Thanks, Saskia. Diane. You're either muted or not here. So we'll move on to Sai.
Yes. I learned a whole lot, and I learned a lot about myself, my tendencies and patterns about myself. And Coach has, you know, warned us about things coming up and being triggered, and
yep.
Sure enough, things came up to me, and I got triggered, and I'm like, "Whoa!" You know, just kind of just work through them, and
yeah.
And that it's okay, and that you know, longer or more calls I get on with this, more comfortable I get, and I'm learning that I am okay with being uncomfortable.
Yeah,
and I can live through and learn.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. I love that. Yeah. I heard we'd get triggered, and I am. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Dina.
For me, it's like for others in terms of trying to allow a natural flow in conversation to happen, using whatever tool is appropriate, and trying not to think about, oh, which tool, you know, do I use?
Right.
And just and to really and you keep pointing out to us in terms of like, what is your marmoset wanting to question, and to allow that to guide the session in the you know, appropriate direction. And I love also the way that you analyze what just happened or what's going on. That helps a lot for me.
Yeah. Oh, that's great.
Thank
that's
you.
Great. Thanks, Dina. And finally, Catherine.
Let's see. Probably for me, honing in on what's going on with the client by asking myself, what's the lie that they're telling themselves that's causing
mm-hmm.
their suffering?
Yeah.
This one, yeah, that's a big one. Separating out the circumstances from the thoughts and feelings that are causing the behavior, that was a biggie.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess for me, probably just remembering to go for the underlying thought versus going for the solution.
Yes, great points. Great points. God, I should summarize these, but I didn't, and I can't. But they're really good. They're really good. So thanks, everybody. That was really fun.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Beg your pardon?
Can you hear me, Beth? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Beth? It's Diane here.
Oh, I must have skipped over you, Diane. I'm
no,
sorry.
Yeah, I was muted, and I unmuted myself. I just wanted to say my takeaway was it's all been absolutely fabulous. And I think that for me, I'd like to feel a little bit more comfortable in that space where there's a pause and there's nothing being said, and I noticed that you said last week that I go a little too fast, and there's that.
Yeah. Sorry, I lost you there again. Oops. Yeah, I think you got cut off, Diane. You might want to post your comment on the discussion page under on our forum. Sorry about that. So everybody, what we're doing next week, you'll be going on to some of the other classes. Your homework this week is really to continue using these tools, coaching. You'll have lots of prep work to do before Coach the Coach 2. I think you have Susan Beekman, who's going to be your instructor, and she's really great at the work, and she's really, that's her area of specialty, is Byron Katie's the work. So I think you're going to really enjoy that with Susan. So I think I might be speaking to some of you again in February. I'm teaching another class or two. But until then, enjoy the rest of this training, and have some wonderful holidays coming up at Christmas.
Thank you, Bev.
You
too.
Thank you, Bev.
Thanks, everybody. Night, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye.
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 Bye.